This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Acuron Corn Herbicide from Syngenta, which delivers 5 to 15 more bushels an acre than with any other herbicide. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and university trials. The corn and soybean markets are still having a tough time finding each other and are moving in opposite directions. But at least the wheat market was mixed, so, you know, we're not getting any help from that market either. Cattle market was mixed, too, but hogs did what hogs do, and they slid to the downside.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Andy Schisler from S&W Trading. In the final segment, Kerry Artek from ArtekAdvisory.com. And right after the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group checks in. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
All right, Davis, thank you so much. Glad that you could join us for today's second hour of AgriTalk. Thank you so much. And you know what? Today's a great time to pick up the phone and give us a call. If you've got any questions about what's going on in the markets, we've got Andy Schisler on.
Yes.
He loves to talk through some of these questions that you guys have got. So give us a call. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. And when you do, make sure that you include hashtag AgriTalk in the message.
Chip, I've got an item.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, we were doing some holiday stuff. We watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Okay.
I want you to follow a progression with me, just real quick, okay?
Oh, boy.
Rudolph's dad spent the entire movie dogging him out till the very end. Here, watch this.
His beak blinks like a blinking beacon.
Here's Santa.
Daughter, you should be ashamed of yourself. No, Santa's right. He'll never make the sleigh team.
All right, fast forward to the end, and Rudolph's dad now has changed his tune.
I knew that nose would be useful someday. I knew it all along.
I knew it all along. Donner,
get real. I think I've heard that voice today and the same kind of flip-flopping because I've been watching the impeachment hearings.
Now, doggone it there. Doggone it, I knew from the very start that he was that he was an impeachable guy.
I knew that nose would be.
I knew that was going to happen.
Well, you know, most of the people that acted in that 1964 presentation were Canadians. So,
really?
Yes, with the exception of Burl Ives and the chick that played the misfit doll voice.
Well,
that explains the
elf wanting to be a dentist, I think.
Exactly. Exactly.
A dentist. Good grief.
Oh, I just love Christmas time.
Oh, wow. Love it. Okay, we got a lot to do. Let's get to it. What moved the markets?
Chip, March SRW futures posted an inside day on the daily chart with a high range open and a low range close. That will make it difficult for the market to build upside price momentum. In tomorrow's supply and demand report, traders are looking for very little change to the balance sheet for wheat. Traders are looking for chart support around the 520 level in March SRW futures. Firming global wheat export prices should help that support level hold solid for the near term. Export inspections of wheat in the week ended December 5, totaled nearly 314,000 metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. March hard red futures, a nickel lower, 426. March soft red futures fell a penny and three quarters to 522 and three quarters. March spring wheat was up 1¼ cents to 513 and a quarter, Chip.
Yeah, if there's one production number or group of production numbers that we're going to be paying attention to, it could be for wheat because there is some uncertainty over the Australian crop. Right. There's some uncertainty over the South American crop, Argentina in particular, but we're not going to get any updates to the U.S. crop in this report.
Corn export inspections in the weekend of December 5 totaled nearly 482,000 metric tons. That was at the low end of trade expectations. In tomorrow's S&D report, traders are looking for a small cut to estimated corn exports and a corresponding increase in U.S. corn carryover. On the daily chart, March corn futures stopped a quarter of a penny short of testing support at Friday's low of 375. March corn futures were a penny lower at 375 and three quarters. May corn slipped 1 1/4 cents, 381 and a quarter. December 2020 corn closed at 389. That's down 1 1/4 cent, Chip.
Yeah. We'll talk to Andy about this too, but I think the most that they're looking for on this corn export right now is they might cut 10 million. It seems crazy to make a 10 million bushel adjustment mm-hmm. on an export estimate at this time of the year.
Right.
But they may come with something as small as a 10 million bushel. 25 million bushel would seem more likely, moving that export mm-hmm. estimate for corn to the downside.
Well, export inspections of soybeans in the week ended December 5 totaled just over 1.327 million metric tons. Traders also noted China imported 8.28 million metric tons of beans from all origins in November. That was up 54% from the same month last year and up 34% from October. Add in the decision by China to exempt more U.S. beans from tariffs, and bean prices were able to work higher for a fifth consecutive session. Call it a win. January bean futures, 7 3/4 cents higher, 897 and a quarter. July beans jumped 7 1/4 to close at 938 and three quarters. November 2020 beans, 944, up 6.5 cents on the day.
Yeah.
Chip?
You know, thank you for that, by the way. it was an impressive move. Like you said, fifth consecutive higher close in here. But we closed well off the session highs. It's kind of yeah. mid-range thing going in the Jan beans. Mm-hmm. So even though we've still got the momentum to the upside in this market, but it feels like it kind of faded on us a little bit today, Davis.
Okay. All right.
When you look at how this market has been performing, the last 4 days have been very similar. We've got that low range open. You get a move to the upside. You set back a bit from the session highs, close at mid to upper range. The bars are it's starting to look like Groundhog Day in January beans.
Didn't you just say that? Weird. Live cattle prices continue to trade. Nice going, boys. You're playing yesterday's tape.
Yeah.
Live cattle prices continue to trade at a slight premium to cattle futures, but recent pressure on boxed beef prices is making it difficult for futures to follow the cash market higher. February cattle futures 22.5 cents lower, 124.75. April cattle futures firmed a nickel, 125.40. January feeders slipped 2.5 cents to 141.52.5.
Hey, that choice box beef market fell like $8 last week.
Mm-hmm.
Took some of the margin out of the beef packing. Obviously, though, they are still making money killing cattle. And you sure. know what we always say, mm-hmm. if you're making money processing a beef, you want to process another one just as quickly as you can. So yeah. the competition for the cattle among the packers still really seems pretty good.
Okay. Well, on the snout side, despite China's plans to exempt more U.S. pork from tariffs, heavy slaughter and deteriorating chart support allowed hog prices to gap lower on the open chip. February hogs, 85 cents lower, 66.70. April hogs fell 72.5 cents to 72.97.5 today.
Yeah, that contract, the February contract in hogs, did go ahead and refill that gap before everything was closed up for the day, but going back to the where did it open, where did it close, we are still looking at a market that did close below the opening range. And boy, after the way that this market has been chopping around here since Thursday of last week, Friday of last week when we had that really wide range, just a lot of volatility in the hogs that we need to try to figure out how to manage. We've got Andy Schisler from S&W Trading coming up here in just a bit. We're going to talk cash markets for corn and for soybeans. We're going to talk cattle. I think we'll probably start and see if Andy's hearing anything new on China. We'll do that next on AgriTalk. Farming is a 24/7 lifestyle, so anytime growers can increase their efficiency or kill two birds with one stone, as the saying goes, it's a good thing. Steve Gom is the corn herbicide product lead with Syngenta. He's with me today. Steve, what are several things growers can do with an eye toward next season to increase efficiencies in their corn herbicide program?
Yeah, first and foremost, you really have to know your farm and its driver weeds. And what I mean by that are which are those weeds that are really causing a problem. And since these are always evolving, I recommend growers scout often and take detailed notes. And knowledge is power, as you know, and knowing what exact weeds are an issue should drive your corn herbicide decisions. It's important to choose a corn herbicide that has multiple effective sites of action specifically targeted to those driver weeds we just mentioned. And if you're not sure about particular weeds or what's causing those problems, we really recommend you talk to your local retailer, and certainly they'll partner with our Syngenta agronomists or sales reps to help out.
Yeah, we're all looking for more efficiency here out there. What kind of efficiencies does choosing the right corn herbicide program offer?
Yeah, investing a little more up front for a quality herbicide is going to save you time and money in the long run. And cheaper, less effective herbicides can cause application issues or provide poor weed control. And everybody knows with poor early season weed control, you're going to lose yield, and those rescue applications are going to cost you more money and certainly time and application costs. Worse
so
yet,
what
weeds that go to seed may spread resistance and deposit seeds into the weed seed bank. And we've talked about those long-term impacts of that.
Yeah, exactly. So what corn herbicide do you recommend?
Well, Chip, we recommend Acuron corn herbicide. It's the only one that unlocks your full yield potential because it controls those tough weeds other products are missing. And we know that when it's used at pre-emergent application at full label rates, it's going to give growers 5 to 15 more bushels an acre than any other herbicide. This means even if you're investing a little more up front for Acuron, you're going to get that back plus some more in yield at the end of the season.
Very good. Very good. All right. Thank you, Steve. That is Steve Gomm, corn herbicide product lead with Syngenta, talking to us about how to maximize efficiencies in your corn herbicide program. Just a reminder to always read and follow label instructions. Acuron is a restricted use pesticide.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success, like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
It doesn't matter what you grow or how many acres you farm, Commodity Classic will help you become an even better farmer.
You don't have to be a big farmer to come here. You know, I could tell you a 1,000, 1,500 acre grower or a 500 acre grower is going to value these things, and he's going to do a lot better job when he leaves here. You know, it's going to make him more conscious of what's going on his farm than ever before.
Commodity Classic, February 27th through 29th in San Antonio. Visit commodityclassic.com.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Mr. Chairman, as a corn root, I speak for millions of my kind who can't be here to defend themselves. Pests are stalking our stocks and undermining our roots. Yes. But we can elect to protect with a legacy of strength. Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment system increases nearby microbial activity to help us grow stronger. That's smart. Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is a corn roots movement. Ask your BASF seed advisor about Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment. Always read and follow label directions.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon. Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
You can't see them, but they're coming for your soybeans. Pythium, Phytophthora, and soybean cyst nematodes are serious threats, and they require serious seed protection. Valent USA has developed a 1-2 punch defense so growers can take the next step in soybean protection. Intego Sweet Soybeans has four powerful modes of action against insects and diseases that work in tandem with Aveo Easy Nematicide to stop soybean pests and diseases before they strike. Find out more at soybeanprotection.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join
us. Here's the thing with that guy, man. So yeah. They're rescuing Rudolph's parents and his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And somehow the kid, the elf, Clarice, winds up overtaking the abominable snowman and pulling out all of his teeth.
Yeah.
Brutal. Yeah. And if you're in a position where you can pull out the snowman's teeth, why do you have to go that far? Isn't there something else you can do? Well, I mean, come on.
I mean, I guess the little guy just wanted to prove a point.
Evidently. Man, the 60s were brutal.
Brutal.
Came out in 64. Whew.
Oh, man. Corn was slightly lower today. Soybeans worked to the upside. Meal was lower, but bean oil was higher. Winter wheat futures lower. Spring wheat futures steady to slightly higher. I'm going to call live cattle mixed. Feeder cattle mostly higher, and lean hogs were under pressure in today's trade. Give us a call. It's 855-4TALK-AG, 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. And when you do, include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. Andy Schisler, S&W Trading, is my guest today. He joins us right now. Andy, it's good to talk with you again. It's been a while.
It's been a while. Oh my gosh, I had a hard time not giggling during your broadcast.
It's okay. You can giggle if you want to, Andy.
Well, sure.
Oh, I was like, oh my gosh, I did not expect that.
You didn't expect it. How do you like to be sitting in my seat, Andy?
A dentist. Go on, so breathe.
Boy, speaking of elves, we've got a Lucia the elf that's supposed to.
Oh, no.
We switch it out for the one that.
Oh, you cut out on us there, Andy. Are you talking about your elf on the shelf? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. So we have the elf on the shelf, and you have the black one, too. And so.
Oh,
wow.
He's already got the black elf a couple times already, just starting. So.
Hey, Andy, though. I'm not sure what's going on with your phone, but it's cutting out on us. If we keep doing this, we're not going to get much from you, we're going to try to have the conversation here and see how it goes, all right? With China, Andy, I keep feeling like the right people are involved. I keep feeling like I'm hearing the right things now. I keep feeling like I'm seeing some of the evidence that China has been working toward an agreement anyway with those big bean imports in November. Are we getting closer?
Looking at it, from what I know, is they are holding back as much female possible from the problem that they're having here. And I think that they're willing to just waive tariff as far as purchases go. So they waived tariffs here earlier, and they waived them again last Friday as well. I mean, I think it gets to the point where, regardless of policy.
Hey, Andy, you're cutting on us with that line. It's just going to – we've still got plenty of time left with you. So what we're going to do is we're going to have Joe give you a call and see if we can get on a different line there and try to reconnect with you, Andy, because I know everybody wants to hear what he's got to say. So, Davis, here's the deal.
Yeah.
We're talking about – are we making progress on this, on the deal with China or not? You know, I've been joking around and saying that it's a phase none.
Right. That's where you and I left off on Friday afternoon. Phase none.
Right. Because we weren't seeing enough evidence that the two teams were moving any closer. Now, with what happened over the weekend and with what and the news that is in the market here today, I kind of feel like I just said with Andy, I kind of feel like we are making some progress in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And it's not just because of the people that are involved. It's because of the actions that we are seeing out there. So let's go ahead and bring Andy back into the conversation here. Andy, let's try it again. Okay, buddy.
Okay. Hey, can you hear me now? Am I there?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that is better. I think that's going to be better for us. So let's kind of start over and let's get your take on what's going on with the China situation.
I think they have to just buy stuff and they don't care and they'll waive tariffs. That's what I think. They're trying to rebuild their hog herd. They're holding back as many female pigs as possible. The bean demand is going to get better from here. Like what we see is we think that we're going to be moving into a bull market in bean meal into China. And so this is the very beginning of it here. So are you getting everything that I'm saying here now?
Yep.
Okay,
you sound
cool.
Perfect,
just double
man.
Check so I don't keep talking for no reason. But yeah, I think that just them waiving the tariffs here for the second time, I think got to buy the stuff. And with the pork and really all the beans, I mean, they're hitting their numbers here. They shouldn't be because they should be down on production. But actually, this month is going to be the beginning of their uptick in production. So supposedly they're going to grow about 2% for this last month, which will be the first time since, I think, August of 18, I believe. So I really like the bean market long term here and into the next 12 to 24 months. And I just see stuff getting better. Trade war aside.
I love the fact that you're talking about meal in along with this, Andy, because of that crusher down in Argentina that, you know, it's the biggest crusher in Argentina, and they're basically saying, listen, the financial conditions stink. They're out of the game right now, aren't they, Andy?
Yeah. Like, they are in so much trouble again. I mean, they're going to go to the IMF again. They're not going to be able to make their payments. They're going to raise taxes. Oh, it's terrible, really. I mean, they're going to struggle this next year, and they end up going back to the IMF again. I mean, these 20% interests, you know, that they're paying back, it's just not enough money. You know, it's going to be the fourth or fifth time they'll have to do it. I mean, so it's a big deal, and I think that I don't even think we have to sell any beans to China. The situation this year is bullish enough, and we've already sold kind of a fair amount. I mean, I just look at the disappearance of this crop, and I just think there isn't going to be much left by next October, really. Even if China's in the market, it'll go really high, I think, like prices.
So it sounds to me like you're thinking this 470-something carryover that USDA is projecting is just out of bounds.
Oh, I think it's probably zero, is what I think. I mean, I just don't get it. Like, when we look at numbers, so if we had 75 million acres of soybeans this last year, that's down 15%, give or take. And then if you talk to commercial elevators, a lot of their grain receipts are down like 20-30%. So some of that's acres, some of that's yield.
Right.
And regardless of what the USDA says on stocks, I just don't think the stocks are out there. And corn, they're talking year to year down 10-20%. So how is my variance in yield from the last 3 years of crop years, like 3 bushels in beans by the USDA? It's not. It can't be. And like the grain receipts are proof that you're looking at much shorter stocks on their ownership. I mean, they just doesn't lie. I mean, these guys know what they usually run on volume year to year, and especially from last year, you know, to be off that much. I'm not surprised. I mean, I kind of thought that's what happened, and that's how this would go. But sure seems like the evidence is there that it's different. That's what I would say.
Yeah. Well, so again, based on what I'm hearing from you, this move back up to $9 in the nearby beans, completely justified, and give it time on 2019 beans and stay patient on 2020. Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh yeah, for sure on soybeans, because I think we have to get something figured out here to even the acres out into February. So I think we see the beginnings of some of the move here now. I think some really big stuff happens post-April. Like, it seems like the wet weather markets in these stocks, markets like this, the big price move comes after taxes are paid and rents are paid. And so the most ownership that's going to be out there to get is right now, and the easiest. And then after that, it becomes really hard, I think. And, gosh, normally this would be a $13 market. It just would be, like right here.
Wow.
And we would start doing that. That's what this would be.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it should be. Like, 75 million acres of beans isn't very many.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to miss on the corn numbers, but we don't need to sell a lot of corn when our crop was off so much.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, I mean, we booked the best basis numbers we've seen since 12 this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we're about, you know, a half an hour away from finding out that roughly, I don't know, a quarter of USDA's projected carryover on beans is still out in the field.
All right.
So there's a lot of vulnerability left on that. Wow. Okay, we're talking with Andy Schisler, S&W Trading. When we come back, everybody's favorite topic, we're going to go straight back to it. What the heck is going on with corn basis?
Pivot BioProven is the first ever nitrogen-producing microbe that supplies nitrogen directly to the plant, helping maximize yield. Just ask Zach from Oklahoma.
The average was about a 5 to 6 bushel an acre benefit. Not only is that more money in my pocket, but it's less money I had to spend on fertilizer and wear and tear on my side dressing sprayer.
Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, whether or not.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you were able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us now. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Jeff, I'm looking at high-grade copper futures today. One market that has not confirmed the strength being exhibited by the U.S. economy is copper. That's probably because China's economy is struggling amidst a trade war. The March contract posted a 28-month low when it dipped to the $2.50 per pound area in early September. It's rallied modestly since then and had found support around its 40-day moving average during late October and November. It appeared to drop decisively below that level, however, thereby signaling further losses last Tuesday, but it then reversed dramatically and rocketed higher in response to last Friday's bullish employment numbers. It fell to the five-month high at 275.70 at today's close. Copper now seems to be headed higher.
All right. I'd like to see cattle follow copper to the upside on that economic strength, too. That'd be pretty cool. Thank you, Dan. Okay. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
For the first time ever, Hemp College will be co-hosted with AgTech Expo, and Indianapolis will be the one location for both technology and hemp production. The Hemp College panel of experts will cover a variety of topics focused on agronomics and marketing of industrial hemp. Then switch into AgTech Expo with more than 25 educational breakout sessions covering precision ag, usable data, machinery demos, sustainable technology, and more. Sign up for both events now at farmjournalagtech.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America. And
then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. We're talking with Andy Schisler. Before we get back to the conversation with Andy, let's go ahead and get a recap of how the markets closed today from Davis.
Let me turn my microphone on. March hard red futures were a nickel lower at 426. March soft red futures off a penny and three quarters to 522 and three quarters. March corn futures were a penny lower at 375 and three quarters. May corn slipped 1¼ cents to 381 and a quarter. January bean futures were 7¾ cents higher, 897 and a quarter. July beans jumped 7¼ to close at 938 and three quarters. On the livestock side, February cattle futures 22½ lower, 124.75. Jan feeders slipped 2½ cents to 141.52½. And Feb hogs were 85 cents lower at 66.70. And Chip, I'd be remiss if I didn't point out that like Forrest Gump on the school bus, Rudolph did get the gal. Just let's listen.
Aren't you going to laugh at my nose, too? I think it's a handsome nose. Much better than that silly false one you were wearing.
You see?
It's terrible. It's different from everybody else's. But that's what makes it so grand.
Here we go.
Why, okay. Any doe would consider herself lucky to be with you.
Any doe would consider herself lucky to be with you. Take that, Donner. That's your quick market recap. Back to you,
Chip. I'm a winner.
I've had it. Leave him alone. He's a little different. Leave him be.
Thank you so much, Davis. Let's get back to the conversation here with Andy Schisler, S&W Trading. Give us a call. It's 855-482-5524. Okay. So, Andy, we worked through the beans. On the corn side of things, wait, you know what? I do have to go back to a question that we just got off of Twitter before we wrap up the conversation on beans here. It's from @DaringTanner. Just wants to know when we're going to get confirmation of these small stocks. Are we going to have to wait until the September quarterly grain stocks report again?
I would say yes, and we probably never really realize the stocks that are out there, is my guess. Not sure.
Not a lot of faith in the USDA numbers, Andy?
I don't know. I mean, I don't get it. Like, it just doesn't match for me, you know. Because you can look at FSA acres and all this other stuff, and then, you know, whether they report prevent plant or then it, whether it's a cover crop or it goes back in the system, it's really ambiguous. And from a yield standpoint, I don't really get it. I just didn't. The ear weights that they use and the pod weights don't really match any statistical analysis that you would use. like if you go to Northern Illinois, for example, so let's talk about corn, which gets into your corn basis question. Yep. We've got some light test weight. We've got stuff that's off 10%. You go to some other places, same thing. But so our ear weights aren't heavier than they were a year ago. They're not going to be the heaviest that they've ever been, and they're probably not above average weight. I mean, they're probably below.
Right.
So this doesn't really make sense when you look at, like, the pod count. So, like, their pod count, they're using really high – they're using low pod counts but heavy pod weight, which would suggest that, like, most of the beans have four beans in the pod, which isn't true.
That was not the case.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I feel like the crops are wrong, and they're smaller. But again, I mean, we see in the cash markets like our evidence for it here.
Right.
So yeah, I don't think we'll actually ever really come down to the stocks. I mean, for what, almost 10 years in a row, we basically run out of beans going into Cedar Rapids every year. We basically had no carryout. But I think we're getting back to doing that. That's where we're headed. And so if we want to call that carryout 200 or 250, then that's fine. That's where we're headed.
So is the structure of this market going to change the bean market? I mean, the bull spreads are going to have to start working if your scenario plays out.
I think that they will. If the price doesn't get going here.
Yeah.
You're going to see the basis increase some more. I remember a couple of years ago we had $1-$2 basis over.
Yeah.
And then corn, it's been pretty firm, and this is when really the most corn's for sale. And, like, a lot of the ethanol plants have been a drive-through if you've been delivering any grain. They really have been. And it's like I can call up and get a minus 10 versus the March into a plant, like, any time. It's like, wow. Like, last year it was, like, 40 under, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So it's there's something going on there, and if we don't get these futures going, you could see the cash, like, say, Decatur, Peoria, St. Louis basis get even more positive, you know, plus 20, plus 30, plus 40.
And then you'll see somebody stop deliveries if that be the case. So,
right.
And they can do the same thing with beans. So I think we're a long ways from that. I actually think we'll get our price. I think we'll get this thing going in the last two quarters of this year is what I think. So we may bull spread a little bit on the corn versus next year, but beans just might perform really good on both for next year beans and this year beans, where they don't have to do a ton of spreading or anything. They just might be, I mean, they used to overperform, and we'd see four to five rallies sell every year. You're just like, if you screwed up your bean market, you just have to wait and then come around again. You know
what
I mean?
Give you a second chance to screw it up.
And it's like, it usually, like, beans are always a dollar more each way, up or down. And so corn's usually like a one-hit wonder once a year. But I got to think that it's all there to do, and I think the longer beans trade sideways here to flat, the higher they go, actually.
Okay. Interesting.
Similar to 10. If you remember 2010, we gotten away from 09 was not that great a crop. We had wet conditions. I remember we were harvesting popcorn in December in 09.
Yeah.
And yeah, just really not very good. And then 10 ended up being a really good year for beans, and basically they rallied all of 10 and into 11. And it was similar prices to these. So the market started to get better. So if this trade stuff gets better, I think you can see a 24-month run in the market that's really good. And if the trade stuff stays the same, there's nothing I can do about it.
It
sucks.
I hear you.
You know, I just have to assume that's going to get better, but we'll see.
Right. Okay, so then on 2019 corn and 2020 corn, I'm not hearing as much conviction about staying patient on corn as I am on soybeans, right?
Right. I think we'll still, I'm not sure what price we're going to get for in corn, really. Normally, you'd see 450, you know, most years. And so we saw that last summer, and that was with 20 million acres of prevent plant to do it. Mm-hmm. So I suppose that's doable in that 440 to 450 area. I really thought that there's a chance we'd do $5 corn this year with so many prevent plant acres and light test weights. And it's really kind of dependent a little bit on ethanol, because if the ethanol demand's not that good, it won't be as tight. And so it won't be quite the scenario that we'd see in soybeans and corn, really.
Yeah, we're getting some margin back on the ethanol side of things. The demand should be okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping it's pretty good. I mean, normally this is 480 market in corn, where we go challenge last summer's high, and then we do whatever we're going to do in beans, which would be 1060 to 1040 is your first stop, which I think would help split the acres at 89 and 89 during February for insurance purposes.
Okay.
I mean, but it should do more than that. And it almost always will do it after April. It is like where it really gets going, and the prices would be like right there. So,
okay.
And it's like I say, if Argentina's having weather problems and financial problems, that could put some more into it. I mean, $10, just that should not be very tough to do, one would think. Okay. And then the bean, you know, corn 450 should be impossible as well.
Okay. All right. Let's jump over to livestock. Talk a little bit about cattle in here. The nearbys, the Deese, and the Feb is still holding the premium to the cash market, but that Deese is right there with the cash. It is basically lining up here. What are you thinking here on cattle?
See, we're short, and I've sold Deese cattle around here, which I've since rolled because it's during delivery. And we've also sold Feb at 124, 125 in this area. And same thing for April. It looks like we're kind of priced where we should be on the December. And so, like, it's pretty close to what's trading in the cash market to what this is during delivery. So it's like, kind of thought there'd be more into it. But, like, so normally with live cattle, we'll get these $10 to $15 moves, you know, back and forth. And that's pretty common. And so, like, so if we've priced in something above the delivery level here within a couple bucks on December, February's holding a premium. It should have a hard time holding the premium, but on its own, technically the market should get nailed here to the tune of like $10 to $12 here sometime soon, I would say. So okay. I'm not rooting for it to happen. I mean, we were long when the thing went up, and it traded under $100 for some reason. I have no idea why. And if you remember, we traded 102 in the cash down there, too. So we squeezed a few people out at 102, and it's just like, yeah, this is not going to stay this way. It's going to get better. And it did. And so I was doing a count, and so this thing was overbought for like 62 days without hardly any correction whatsoever.
Yep.
It's like I could remember beans doing 80 before, but you're in rare air when you're doing that, so it gets pretty dangerous here. So I think you want to be owning puts and stuff for Feb and April. I would say that's really safe. And then if we get it wrong and it does go to like 130, you could move them up. Yeah. But like this is a good time where I think that stuff would work. Like I'm outright short some futures here, so we'll see. Gosh, I would think 118 trades on the futures here probably soon, too, also.
Okay. All right.
And they probably spread exactly opposite against hogs when it happens, because that's just how this goes. So the hogs rally.
Yep. Gotcha. Yep. All right, Andy, it's good to talk with you again. Thanks for making the time, buddy.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
All right, that is Andy Schisler, S&W Trading. It's always fun to talk with Andy, and I mean, if you get to the end of the conversation and you don't really have a good idea what Andy's thinking, you probably weren't paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've not had anybody talk that bullish on beans for a while. Wow.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill, and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings, and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
5 conferences, 1 location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the 5 highly regarded Top Producer Conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
For the first time ever, Hemp College will be co-hosted with AgTech Expo, and Indianapolis will be the one location for both technology and hemp production. The Hemp College panel of experts will cover a variety of topics focused on agronomics and marketing of industrial hemp. Then switch into AgTech Expo with more than 25 educational breakout sessions covering precision ag, usable data, machinery demos, sustainable technology, and more. Sign up for both events now at farmjournalagtech.com.
Mr. Chairman, as a corn root, I speak for millions of my kind who can't be here to defend themselves. Pests are stalking our stocks and undermining our roots. But we can elect to protect with a legacy of strength. Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment system increases nearby microbial activity to help us grow stronger. That's smart. Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is a corn roots movement. Ask your BASF seed advisor about Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment. Always read and follow label directions.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know? Oh, that was a tear in my beer.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. It is not.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. Good conversation there with Andy Schisler. Like I said, I've not talked to anybody that's mentioned those kind of numbers associated with bean prices for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just his feeling is that the stocks just aren't out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if they are right now, give us a couple of months and we're going to be digging into them awfully deep.
Right.
So it's crazy. Crazy, crazy.
Well, yeah. It's clearly thought it through, and that's a sentiment I think that runs pretty rich through farm country this year. He did make a good point. Time will be the judge.
Gotcha. All right, let's bring in Kerry Artek, Artek Advisory. Kerry, how are you this week? It's good to talk with you again.
You too, Chip. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Don't forget, everyone, Kerry has a 2-week free trial waiting for you at artacadvisory.com. That's ARTAC advisory.com. Let's jump right into it. March corn, right?
Yeah, right. March corn. I still have a near term ceiling at 382 3/4. We tested last week. We backed off since. 382 3/4 can contain buying through December, and below which the March contract does remain susceptible to once again testing 355 even long-term support over the next 3 to 5 weeks or so, where we can actually bottom out through next year. As I keep indicating on your show, holding above 355 even long-term support will keep 433 even in reach as we push into later spring, possibly higher into next summer. You know, so consistent with that thinking, a weekly settlement Friday above 382 3/4 would indicate a good December low, 399 even then expected within 2 to 3 weeks, where the March contract can top out through January, and 399 even is also the point to settle above for signaling that 433 even within another 3 to 5 weeks or so, where we can top out through next spring.
Okay.
On to Jan beans. As I mentioned on last week's show, my early November sell signal did reach its 3 to 5 week target last week in the 861 even to 865 even long-term support region. And now that we've tested long-term support, I do maintain a 2 to 3 week upside objective at 922 even, with 995 even in reach as we continue into later spring. And so on the way up, 922 even can contain buying in the Jan expiration. We actually just might test 922 even this week. It can contain buying in the January expiration, but a daily settlement above 922 even would accelerate the reaching of the 995 even long-term resistance area within another 2 to 3 months or so, where the broader soybean market can actually top out into next summer. Downside, if we settle this week Friday below 861 even long-term support, I don't see that happening, but if so, 801 and three quarter then expected over the next 3 to 5 weeks, where we encounter another meaningful support area able to contain selling into spring trade. On to Feb live cattle, very simply, remain bullish Feb cattle through the balance of the year above 122.47, still expecting 132.12 long-term resistance, say, by the end of January, where the broader live cattle market can actually top out into next summer. This has been a target now for since really the early September lows. Downside, a weekly settlement Friday below 122.47 would signal a price collapse likely by the end of January into the 113.80 area, where the broader cattle market can bottom out into spring. And I could talk a little bit about Feb light lean hog if you like, Chip.
Yeah, I would. If you could jump on Feb hogs, that'd be great.
Sure, yeah. We remain heavy into January so long as we're holding below 73.22. Still expecting 58.95 long-term support by the end of January, the 58.95 level able to contain broader lean hog selling through next summer. And in fact, above which, lean hogs maintain a stable price dynamic through 2020. If we were to settle Friday above 73.22, and I don't see that happening this week, but if so, that would indicate 80.30 within another 2 to 3 weeks where the Feb contract can top out into expiration. But bottom line with the lean hogs, bullish through next year, stable, I should say, through next year above 58.95.
Good stuff, Kerry. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Chip. Take care now.
Yep, that is Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. Okay. There, we've got our charts, chart points to watch for the week ahead. Get some closes above those resistance levels, and we can open up some upside. I really like the way that is the outlook that he's got on this on Feb cattle. You know, it's just stay bullish when we're above that 122.47, still targeting 130 plus there. I think that's a market that we need to pay real close attention to. Mm-hmm. National Weather Service, 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for December 17th through the 20th. No, I'm sorry. That's too far out. That's the 8 to 14 day. Let's jump back here. December 15th through the 19th. Normal. Pretty much normal temperatures expected over most of the Corn Belt. Most of Minnesota is an exception there. Western Wisconsin expected to see below normal temperatures, and we've got above normal precipitation expected through most of South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, northern Missouri, northern Illinois, and most of Iowa.
Really?
We do have below normal precipitation expected in North Dakota, Minnesota, and western Wisconsin, where those colder temperatures are expected.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll take that.
Okay. And then the 8 to 14 day? This is December 17th through the 23rd.
All right.
We've got above normal temperatures expected over the entire Corn Belt, the entire eastern three quarters of the country.
What?
But we've got above normal precip expected. Oh, let's call it I-35 to the east and west of I-35. We've got normal to below normal precipitation expected out.
That goes against my Christmas forecast, which of course calls for
snow and ice.
Of course it will.
Of course.
That's what we've done. It's the pattern. It's the pattern.
Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by the edit button. Ever wonder why life does not come with an edit button? Because if it did, we'd all be at home emptying beer cans right now. And now today's tweets at Rod Greiser, 1958. I have a feeling there's some editing going on. At Farm Chick Jody, is it Friday yet? Oofta, what a day. And one more from at Big Al Jack. If I wasn't so dang busy, it'd be a good day to be drinking cold beer by the pool. You know, I think he's right.
Good stuff. All right, thank you, Davis. Thanks for listening today. Thanks to Jack Scoville, Andy Schisler, Kerry Artak. Tomorrow morning, it's a farmer forum. We're moving it up a day. We've got Nick from Iowa, Luke from Nebraska, And tomorrow afternoon, Phil Conrad from Tratus LLC. That's tomorrow on Agri.
Got equipment to sell privately but tired of scams and hassles? Then list it for sale on MachineryPete.com, the simple and secure way to buy and sell equipment online. Reach millions of buyers nationwide. Connect with legitimate buyers. Get pricing guidance. Don't wait. Sell it yourself on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com and click on Sell Mine.
Five conferences, one location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded top producer conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Thanks to Acuron Corn Herbicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer about how you can get 5 to 15 more bushels with Acuron. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and University trials.